Pensacola's first choice for morning news, traffic, sports, and talk. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning, Pensacola.
Reshuffling, the Wahoos are now an official affiliate of the Miami Marlins. In order to remain compliant with Major League Baseball standards, an estimated $2 million of capital improvements at the stadium are necessary. These include, but are not limited to, a second batting cage, an artificial playing surface, replace the stadium lights with LED lights, and moving the ball pens to near left field. There's a full list that we have of the full $2 million, but the major ticket items are in these.
All right, first of all, this is Amy Lavoy. She's the Director of Finance for the City of Pensacola, talking about the extension of the Blue Wahoos agreement with the City of Pensacola to continue using the stadium at Community Maritime Park. They're into their 10th year now, and that's going to expire end of the summer, and then they want to extend. They've got two extensions for 5 years each, and they want to go ahead and extend for 10 years and stay an available affiliate for whoever will take them, right? They were the Reds originally, and then the Twins briefly, and now to the Marlins. But as you can hear, they have to have some improvements to the stadium. Now, Davis, you had reported on this before. This is something that you were well aware of. By the way, just as a side note, we got to tell whatever city council member, let's presume a female, is wearing all of those bracelets, stop it. Stop banging your bracelets on the table when your mic is live. Anyway, this is a big deal because it's $2 million. The city is clearly going to be responsible for paying for it because that's in the contract. The capital improvements are on the city, but $2 million here, you ready for really just cliched expression that fits the topic? Out of left field. No, I feel immediately stupid about that, but okay. Fair enough. When does all this need to be done? Now.
How to pay for $2 million in improvements in a timely manner. And that timely manner, and why this is becoming so important, is a lot of these improvements need to be in place by baseball season, which has been pushed back until May because of COVID-19.
It's now.
I believe does start at the beginning of May, and they're looking to make a lot of these improvements prior to this.
So $2 million in capital improvements now. Before yes. They can start playing baseball. And Davis, you were telling me that they also, things like furniture and things like that have to be changed around?
Yeah, along with the improvements that they need to have. COVID-19 requirements would also say that in the clubhouse, which, remember, one of the things that they were boasting about the new clubhouse were the nice furniture in there. All of that's been removed. With exception of course, the lockers. But that's just it. They want the players confined to only their lockers. And they would rather players not hang out in there. They'd rather, hey, get in here, get changed, get out onto the field, try and stay as socially distant as possible. After the game, players normally like to hang out and hang out with their teammates.
Right, that's part of being on a sports team.
Well, they instead want them to get in, go back to wherever it is you're staying.
Huh.
And it's got to be tough when you're a minor leaguer because you're on the road. You don't really have a permanent household.
Right.
You're just
camaraderie
having
is base. Your pay is camaraderie. I mean, that's what you've got, and playing the game that you love. Plus, not only all of that, but they want to convert from grass to turf.
I love natural grass. I'd love to continue doing natural grass, but it is very difficult for us to do natural grass and have multiple sports played on. Plus, the number one reason we're going to turf in the lighting is because baseball wants to be consistent. The Miami Marlins want the same system of turf at all levels that they are playing at, whether they're Double A here, Triple A in Jacksonville, or whether they go down to Miami and play.
See, that makes sense to me that they want consistency so that moving up and down at the layers will be the same thing. At the same time, they're going to play on grass fields in other places. But Davis, this is just happening. We're going to get turf there instead of grass, right?
Well, yeah, but think about how many times that stadium is used outside of baseball. There's also a football team that will be playing there. There are family-friendly events that they're going to be hosting over there. You and I are going to an event there next week.
Right.
Probably not in the grass, but it's used for other things outside of sports. The goal is to use the grass and not have to worry about it getting trampled down, mm-hmm. not have to worry about having to mm-hmm. let it grow back out. Because it was also an issue, but the last baseball season that we did have here, the sprinkler system went out. And so they had to find ways to water the grass. Well, they couldn't water it enough, and so the grass was dying. And that's a not fun to play on. That's right. not a good look. So when, at least it's more, when it's artificial.
It's more easily damaged.
So if it's artificial, there it is. It's artificial.
And I will say, you know, if you're thinking of turf as what it was like 30 years ago, I mean, turf these days is completely different. I'm with him though. I would always rather have grass, but grass is hard to maintain. You know, it's a challenge. And like actually at the Studer Community Institute building, they've got that out front. I swear it's so good that you know it's turf, but you still want to get down and like touch it just to make sure that is that really turf? You know, so I'm sure they'll probably use something like that. So anyway, that's what's happening at the stadium. The good news is the whole purpose of doing these renovations, the whole purpose of doing and then figuring out how to structure their payment system in order to, you know, either recover the money in the long term or something or have them pay, but then they get a discount on their fees, whatever. The whole point of this is to keep baseball downtown because the alternative is, you know, you got a lot of empty stadiums around the nation now as you've scaled back for the various layers of Major League Baseball. You have places that have stadiums and no teams. And we certainly do not want to lose baseball to somewhere else since that is such a major revenue. It's attraction. It's all the things, right? 7:15 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis Allen, time for Traffic on the Fives.
You know, going back to Garcon Point Bridge, it is delayed as you're trying to go through the toll plaza. It's backed up all the way to Gulf Breeze. And as a result of that, Gulf Breeze Parkway going eastbound is backed up to the Bells Winn-Dixie parking lot. Now, you're going through northbound across Avalon Boulevard. It's also looking a little delayed as you're approaching I-10. And southbound, by the way, coming from Highway 90 on down to I-10, is backed up to Del Monte Street. I-10, I-110 checking in clear, not seeing any delays around the Alabama-Florida border anymore. But the front gate of NES Pensacola is still delayed, backed up to where Sunset Avenue is located. So we'll be keeping an eye on that. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the Fives.
That's one of my all-time favorite song names. Song names. You know the name of that song? Well, you're playing the
song. I'm playing it, so
yeah.
I do know it. I'd be cheating.
It's Pat Benatar, the Ooh Ooh Song. Love that one. 7:19 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. We got Mark Jacobs here coming up for the news, but I want to give him something to chew on for a second. I'm sure he is familiar, but just in case, and for the rest of you, this was yesterday on Jeopardy.
And our returning champion, a college consultant of Los Gatos, California, Sam Stapleton, whose one day cash winnings total $33,201. And now, here is the executive producer of Jeopardy, Mike Richards.
Who? We were supposed to have celebrities. Supposed to be Katie Kirk and Aaron Rodgers and... who? Mike Richards?
The great Johnny Gilbert. Thank you, sir. And welcome to Jeopardy. As Johnny said, I'm Mike Richards, the executive producer of Jeopardy, and I'm hosting today and for the next 2 weeks to keep the greatest quiz show in the world going. We have some amazing guest hosts coming that I can't wait for you to see.
Tease.
But with the COVID outbreak here in LA, folks were understandably a little reticent to shoot. Ken Jennings did a great job, but he's unavailable due to obligations with his show, The Chase. So, as the producer, my job is to quite literally live the mantra, the show must go on.
So there you go. The executive producer, the guy, the executive producer is never on camera. Not ever. Never, never, never on camera. And yet, and I'm curious, I mean, it was really good.
Yeah,
I mean, miles better than Ken Jennings, quite frankly.
He did really, really well.
Yeah.
I'd much rather have him doing
it. I would, too. Yeah. I thought, I think, you know, I'm not saying we got our guy, but we got a pretty good, because I thought it was going to be a train wreck, honestly. But no, he was great. You thought so too?
Yeah, I was not expecting much and was pleasantly surprised.
Good pacing, good style, not interjecting himself overly much, certainly not full of himself, but very knowledgeable. I mean, I was like, oh, this works okay.
Next couple of weeks should be fine.
And then we'll have other people to complain wrecks. About. Yeah. What's going on in the newsroom, Mark?
Hearings on last month's attack on the U.S. Capitol kick off today. Two Senate committees will hold a joint hearing with leaders from the Capitol Police and Metro D.C. Police Department. President Biden says Americans need to resist becoming numb to the sorrow of the COVID pandemic. He spoke last night after the U.S. marked a 500,000 deaths since the outbreak began. And, of course, NASA landed that Perseverance rover on Mars last week. They unveiled a new video yesterday, first sound ever recorded there on Mars. They didn't have a windsock on the microphone.
They need a little piece of foam on the end of that mic.
Able to pick up a sound of a wind gust after it made its successful landing, although I've done a little research this morning and gone over that audio.
All right.
And edited it and filtered it, and it's covering up something, that the actual audio.
Where the cotton picking heck am I?
You are on Mars. Isn't that lovely?
It's amazing what you can do with a filter and get
that your audio software is fantastic. Yeah, that you managed to clean all of that ambient noise up and find Marvin the Martian. Yep. So clearly.
I got a lot more work for you if you want to keep that going.
Okay.
I've heard
something about auto warranty or
I've heard rumors that they actually, when they panned the camera to the left, there was a picture of an elderly Vermont independent senator wearing a pair of mittens and sitting on
and some guy from Texas pulling his luggage.
But it's okay. Can I just take a second and be crotchety 50-year-old guy, because that's who I am a lot of the time. Unfortunately for the importance of democracy and thought and ideas, we have become a culture that gets the meme, and that's about it, unfortunately. All right. It's true. It's pathetic. All right, Mark, go ahead. Thanks for the update. Thanks for the update. 7:23. Yes, they're funny, but anyway, I'm in that kind of a mood today. I don't know why. I probably should blame Mark, because it's probably Mark's fault. But anyway, 437-1620, 437-1620. One note when it comes to the pandemic is the numbers, as you well know, I hope. And by the way, kudos to most major media and, you know, others are correctly reporting that all the numbers are in decline. Again, just for the sake of refreshing, if you don't listen to me all the time, we are in a bad, objectively bad situation still, but it is only half as bad as it was recently, or even better than that. You know, like, just look. Current hospitalizations are dramatically down statewide, nationwide, locally, less than half of what they had been at their peak in most situations. Unfortunately, deaths are still not declining. The five-day average for Florida is 151 a day. It had been 171 in January, so it has not declined very much. The new number of cases per day was at 11,000, almost 12,000 a month ago. It's now at 5,500, so under half for an average. So cases and hospitalizations down, deaths still not down. And we did pass 500,000 deaths yesterday, a significant milestone. On the other hand, the three local hospitals have moved back into green status. You know, the yellow was never a big concern, but yellow is we're on the verge of being concerned, basically. You know, we have to start thinking about surge plans. And when they were up over like 250 cases in the hospital, and now we're down to like 102. So they're back to green. So you know, it's not ideal. We'd like to be under 50. That would really be the goal. That's when the mayor has talked about lifting the mask ordinance. But it's good. It's much, much better than it has been. That is the key. 7:25 News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. By the way, I think it's interesting. Some of Admiral Brett Gerard's comments the other day were, it was yesterday that he was on Fox Business. Anyway, he was basically saying that, look, if you add together the total number of people who have been infected and recovered, somewhere in the vicinity of 80 plus million people. If you triple the number of cases, you get the number of total infections by a rough estimate. If you add to that the number of people who have substantial immunity, even from just a first dose of vaccine, something over 40 million, you're starting to approach significant herd immunity numbers. You know, 120, 130, 140 million people out of 330. You know, 70-80% would be over 200, 220, maybe something like that. But if you're at, you know, 120, 130, that's substantial. So he thinks, and some other people think, that because of vaccinations and less so, and because of so many people being infected, we're starting to get to see the effects of herd immunity. It's not because people are masking more or avoiding each other. It's we're starting to see the byproduct of having a lot of people be generally immune to the disease. Davis Allen, time for traffic on the fives.
Well, I have bad news for people going northbound on Avalon Boulevard. There is an accident as you pass Garcon Point Road. That's where it is located. It's already backed up before you even get to Garcon Point Road. So not only are you going to be dealing with the delays that are on Garcon Point Bridge going northbound, as soon as you go through the toll plaza, you're going to be met once again with an accident that is going to be delaying you even longer. Now, once you get through there, which it appears that the accident is before you get to Mary Kitchens Road. So once you get through that accident, it does check in clear the rest of the way through Avalon Boulevard. I-10, I-110 are checking in clear, but back at the front gate of NAS Pensacola, it is still delayed on over towards Palmetto Avenue. As a matter of fact, it looks to be delayed before that. It appears to be delayed to Winthrop Avenue. This report's brought to you by Central Credit Union. Start your year off with a resolution loan at Central Credit Union. Rates as low as 6% APR up to 60 months. You can apply at ccufl.org. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
You know, if you're in business, you probably didn't get in business because you were excited to go start an endeavor where you would work on payroll or health benefits or dental or human resources tool. I mean, you got into business to do the thing that you do, to serve your customers, to build the widget, whatever the case may be, right? Well, guess what? The folks at Torgerson Causey feel the same way about the thing you don't like about running a business, which is benefits and payroll and human resources. That's the stuff they're good at. That's the stuff they like to do, and they want to help you. They want to help give you options. They want to help give your employees choices. They want to help give you good plans that really fit your needs and their needs and find you something that maybe can save you money. That's kind of ideal. And they've been doing this for more than 20 years. In fact, they recently started taking over our benefits here at News Radio. And I'll just tell you, they gave us options. And it was nice to have more options. So they are working on their 20th. They're in their 20th year doing business, locally owned and operated. If you need any of that kind of stuff for a business, Torgerson Causey, give them a call and get a no obligation review of your plans and programs. 433-9996 or online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
You know more because you listen to Pensacola Right Now with Bobby Rossi, 4 till 7 p.m. weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Morning, 7:38, News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now, we have Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing great. Very good to have you. You guys, what, you opened the Molino substation back up after a couple of years of not being in operation this weekend, right?
Yeah, on Saturday, we opened our second precinct. If you recall, on February the 6th, we opened the precinct that had been closed in Perdido, and then on Saturday, and just a terrific day, we opened the Molino precinct. As I mentioned up there on Saturday, that the building itself was in basically in shambles, really, until we got out there last couple of weeks with the assistance of Escambia County Facilities, and we painted it. They repaved a lot. They did a lot of work. We had a septic tank issue that the men and women at the sheriff's office really did a great job of fixing. So we get there, and the weather's kind of cool, but it ends up being very nice. We had a terrific turnout. It was a more of a carnival atmosphere. It was really a great thing to see and a great thing to experience. So, yeah, so we now have a precinct in Molino with a full-time lieutenant. Lieutenant Bobby Nelson will be up there. And we're hoping that people will swing by and talk to him. If they have any concerns, they can go to the precinct to call Lieutenant Nelson, meet him there. If they want to have a meeting with a sheriff or a chief deputy, then we can meet them up there as well.
You know, I as you know, my wife and I go biking every weekend, and we just finished all of Escambia County 2 weeks ago. So we've biked every road in the county, and I'll just tell you, you know, I am amazed every time I think about it how sprawling and far-flung the responsibilities are for example, you know, the superintendent, and of course for you to have to police everything from Perdido to Pensacola Beach, especially now with the bridge out, all the way up to Century and everywhere in between. It's, I mean, it's a massive amount of land space and population spread to be able to oversee.
It really is, and that's why it's so important. I felt like it was so important to open these precincts. We have a precinct in Century. Now we have one in Molino. We have one in Inslee. We have one in Warrington. We opened one again in Perdido. We have Pensacola Beach precinct, and obviously we have our main office over on Leonard Street. So if you think about it, we're a very spread out community. We're working towards getting more precincts, but as you said, it requires that because we're such a big county, and to have deputies that are in that area familiar with each different area, we think is very important.
Absolutely.
We did get a lot of questions about, well, where do we go next? But
no, go ahead. Intending to, I guess at this point it'd be to either acquire or construct, but are you intending to open any more?
Yeah, well, the sheriff's office does not own property. We would have to work with the Board of County Commissioners. The precincts that we reopened were still technically in the possession of the sheriff's office because we were able to use them, but they weren't being used, obviously. And so what we'd have to do is work with the Board of County Commissioners and then determine where and if another precinct is needed. Kind of have my eye on the Myrtle Grove area, kind of have my eye on the Beulah area. But that's going to require a lot of conversation. It may not be this year, but it's certainly something that we'll look at and see if we can, first of all, acquire the property, as you said, and then secondly, if we can get the manpower that can actually, that we can man the posts themselves.
Okay, so this is probably the most dangerous thing that I'm going to do, but I had an idea pop into my head, and it's probably a terrible one, but I can't shake it in the 5 seconds since I thought of it. You know, when you've got a high-crime area, and you know where those are, would it be feasible to enter into some kind of a short-term rental lease agreement with a property in that area and have a temporary substation just so you're right present in a situation like, I mean, I don't know. That's the idea that occurred to me. It's probably a terrible one, but what do you think?
Well, I think those are all good ideas. I think we're talking about that sort of thing. We're talking about having a mobile precinct, parking our command bus at a certain location for a couple weeks at a time.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I don't want to just open a precinct just to say, oh, we opened a precinct. I want there to be enough staffing available. I want there to be deputies that are there that can work that area on a day in and day out basis. And I want to be able to get someone that's in charge of that precinct. And what we have, the rank level of a lieutenant in charge of our precincts now. And I think that works out pretty well. So I want to make sure that we're all on the same boat. I want to have those conversations with the individual commissioners about their districts and get their input, obviously. And then we can show them, you know, a heat map, basically, where the crime's taking place, and we can zero in on a location, again, not just to say we've done it, but to actually do it so that it is, beneficial to the community itself.
Yeah, most definitely. We're talking to Chip Simmons. He is the sheriff in Escambia County. Sheriff, I know that we need to inform people about certain kinds of crimes, but crimes involving children and crimes against women are the ones that I'm the most reluctant to talk about, but I know they're important because it reminds people of the importance of being good neighbors. Y'all had a child neglect story this week that really kind of highlights the importance of eyes on neighborhoods, right?
Absolutely. We got a call on December the 30th of an unknown problem, and we get those a lot. People will call us up and say, there's something wrong at this neighborhood or that neighborhood or this specific house, and we would go there and we'll check it out. Well, on December the 30th, we got a call of an unknown problem. So when we get there, we notice that there is what's described as a young infant reaching her arm and head out of a broken bedroom window. No one comes to the door. So our deputies make entry because obviously this is a danger to this young child. When we get in there, we find three children total. They're locked into a room, and the door is tied shut with a charging cable, It's attached to an adjacent door. And then we noticed that dogs are, there's like three dogs in basically terrible conditions. There's feces and urine, dog feces and urine all over the place. There are bottles full of marijuana, and there's no adult in the area. So we end up arresting Christian Pearson, who, again, it was not there. The reason I'm talking about it now is because we were able to serve the warrant on him on Thursday. We end up charging him with child neglect and possession of marijuana. And as you mentioned, we don't usually brag about these things, but we want to make sure that people understand that if there's a situation where they think children are in danger or there's some sort of neglect, then they can call the sheriff's office, or if they're in the city, they can call the police department, and we can go and check it out. In this case, we called animal control, and we called Division of Children's Services. They took the children, and animal control took the dogs, and we filed for an affidavit for the adult that was supposed to be there and protecting these children, but they were not. So it's just a reminder that it doesn't have to. You don't have to call the sheriff's office to your own home. If you're aware of situations like this specifically involving children, you can give us a call.
Well, as you say, and as I mentioned, you know, it's the kind of thing we distaste for talking about because it's so awful. But if people don't pay attention, then bad things continue. And sometimes, you know, it's important to just remember that, you know, we may be the last line of defense against some child continuing to live a life of real neglect. And, you know, you have a duty. We're talking to Sheriff Chip Simmons from Escambia County. Sheriff, hang on for me for just 1 second. Let me get a quick traffic report from Davis Allen.
Yeah, we do have that accident on Avalon Boulevard. It is a mess. If you're going southbound towards Garcon, if you're trying to get off on I-10, you're going to be met with delays immediately. And if you're traveling along Garcon going northbound before you even get off the bridge, you're going to be met with delays all due to this accident that is just north of Garcon Point Road. So just be ready to pack your patients over here. If you're traveling also getting off on I-110 to go westbound on Fairfield, there's also an accident in the far right lane with two responders already at the scene. So just use caution over there, and still seeing delays on the front gate of NAS Pensacola just due to a number of personnel back on base, and they're using more protocols to check IDs. That's the big cause for the delays. And if you notice anything else, give me a call, 262-6111. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Davis. Now back to Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff. Now, Sheriff, you used to be the chief of police in Pensacola, and I certainly don't want to put you in the position of being, you know, at odds politically with the mayor or anybody else, especially as you guys are starting to develop your relationship there. But I did want to ask you, because I'm curious your take on this. You know, Pensacola, anything it does is going to have an effect on the county and vice versa. Pensacola is engaging in a gun buyback program. And we've talked about this many times. I've been very critical. My basic concern is that at the low end, if you price the guns too low, it's not going to work. Who'd be dumb enough to sell a pistol for $50? On the other hand, if you price it too high, a reasonable price, especially in today's market, you're going to buy guns for $150, $200. All of a sudden, you've given every teen gang that already is incentivized to go check car doors at night and find out if they might have possessions or gun in them, you've given them that much more reason to go right now before the gun buyback program and acquire guns. You don't have to answer that specifically, but I am curious to get your thoughts on the gun repurchase program.
Well, I think I'll just say that we're not participating in the gun buyback. When I was a police chief, there was a gun buyback years ago. I can't remember, probably 6-8 years ago. And we had something similar to that. And we had a lot of people coming and giving us, you know, small pieces of guns and stuff. And quite honestly, I couldn't tell the difference. And there's a varying opinions on whether it's effective or not. And for that reason, we're not going to participate. And I don't anticipate having a gun buyback program in the county. But I will tell you this, they're doing something. They're trying. And I think that when you raise awareness and have education regarding the safety of guns, and I think they're giving away gun locks and that sort of thing, I think it's a good thing. I think that you've heard us talking many times about gun safety, and we talk a lot about people that mistakenly injure themselves with guns. We talk a lot about locking your car doors and keeping guns. But, you know, I'm a fan of carrying concealed. I'm a fan of an individual's right to carry a firearm. And I think that, you know, that's very important to me. So while we will not participate in a gun buyback program, I do give them credit for raising awareness and for seeking an education aspect of their own program.
You know, you give me an idea, and maybe it'd just be a tone shift, but if it were a gun safety and education seminar, free gun locks and things like that, and we'll teach you how to have your gun stored safely. Oh, and by the way, we also will repurchase guns if you're concerned about them. Weirdly, I'd be all for that, you know, and especially if that were kind of an ongoing thing that would happen maybe once a quarter or every 6 months or something like that. But maybe I'd be for that. I don't know. But that's an interesting comment, Chip. I appreciate that. So Sheriff Escambia County, Chip Simmons, as always, a pleasure, sir. Thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
You bet. Y'all take care.
All right. 7:50 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
We're everywhere you are when you have the News Radio 92.3 app. Download it free on iTunes, Google Play, and no more because you listen to News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Last week we got some good news. Certainly those of you who are anglers and enjoy angling art, we were very happy that the city of Pensacola was recognized, or Pensacola area was recognized, by Guy Harvey, who's internationally renowned for that. He is going to be excited to do a Pensacola Lighthouse. Is going to be featured on a new Guy Harvey t-shirt with part of the proceeds benefiting Ocean Conservancy.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. This was the mayor yesterday during the press conference that we did with him. He made this announcement that Guy Harvey has now produced a t-shirt that's got the Pensacola Lighthouse on it and a bunch of Gulf fish swimming all around as if the seahouse were, or as if the lighthouse were submerged within the Gulf. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. And the proceeds go to Ocean Conservancy. They don't go to directly benefit the lighthouse. That would have been like the better way to do it, in my opinion. But still, it's nice. It's a nice little picture. It's up on our Facebook page if you want to see it for yourself. 7:54, Mark Jacobs is in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
Former President Trump is upset over the U.S. Supreme Court decision to allow release of his taxes to New York State prosecutors.
The Supreme Court now delivered Donald Trump this decisive defeat, refusing to block a New York grand jury from getting 8 years of his personal and corporate financial records. So in simple terms, the president's basically out of legal options right now.
That's NBC's Peter Alexander. NTSB says metal fatigue may have caused an engine on that United jet to explode over Denver over the weekend. The agency's first look at the Boeing 777 engine found damage to a fan blade that may have led to the engine failure. New dream job for somebody who doesn't mind being watched while they sleep. Website offering $2,000 to study how environmental factors influence sleep quality. Person who's chosen gets to spend 5 nights in 5 different locations, including a 5-star resort.
All right, Mark, thanks for the update. I always feel like somebody's watching me sleep. I don't know. I'm not going to sing really on the radio. It's never a good idea for me. For Davis, it's fine. American Idol contestant that he was once upon a time. But for me, no. No, thank you. All right, Davis, time for a quick shot of sports.
And that was one time and one time only for me. I will not be doing it again, although it was a good time. All right, so Trent Richardson, familiar name around here, especially in the sports scene. Great at Escambia High School, 5-star recruit, was a star at Alabama, even a top 3 pick in the NFL draft. It didn't quite work out. He did eventually go on to the Canadian Football League and then played in the American Allegiance of Football. I think that's Allegiance of American Football. I don't know. It didn't last that long. He played in that league, too. Well, now he's going across the border again, this time south of the border. He is playing in the, I'm just going to say the Mexican Football League. It's the Futbol Americano de Mexico League, and he's playing for the Caudillos de Chihuahua. I'm not too familiar with that team, but he did sign a contract with that team, so he's back at it, playing professional football. Like always, like for any local playing professional sports, I wish them the best of luck.
You say Chihuahua, I say yo quiero Taco Bell.
Ay, ay, ay. Now rolling that into your traffic on the fives, where Well, wow. Avalon Boulevard is a mess right now. If there's an accident located just north of Garcon Point Road, this is backing up southbound traffic. If you're going on, basically, if you are north of I-10, it is backed up traffic beyond Del Monte Street. It is really bad how bad this traffic is. Now, if you're going northbound, trying to head towards I-10, it's backed up about midway. It's backed up pretty much to Gulf Breeze Parkway. That's how bad it is. Gulf Breeze Parkway, both eastbound and westbound, showing pretty big delays. And also now in Pensacola, if you're taking a look at I-10 and I-110, they're checking in clear. I'm seeing no delays along the Gulf Beach Highway, but, and this is good news, it's still delayed on the front gate of NES Pensacola, but it is improving. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
So you have heard that the Supreme Court is not going to interfere with the tax returns of President Trump being released to the grand jury. You may also, I don't know if you've heard this one, also the Supreme Court declined to take up the appeals on the Pennsylvania elections and the decision to allow ballots to be included. They were postmarked but not received and all of that. So the mail-in ballots, that's all over with as well. And then yesterday, the Supreme Court heard all about Florida and Georgia's water woes. I'll tell you, the early reporting, I haven't listened to the oral arguments yet. My sense from reading the reporting is that Florida may not win this case, and that Apalachicola is just going to be basically out on their ear as a result of having to pursue this against Georgia in the Supreme Court.